Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. This is day number 107, and it brings us to Exodus chapter 19. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the times that we get to spend in your word day by day. Thank you for the ways in which you are teaching us and growing us. We pray that you would continue to grow us today. Write your word on our hearts, make it fresh to our understanding. Help us to believe and to respond in faith and obedience to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people, and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and may also believe you forever." When Moses told the words of the people to the Lord, the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain." So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. And he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman." On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke, because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." And Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, set limits around the mountain and consecrate it." And the Lord said to him, "Go down and come up, bringing Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. This is Exodus chapter 19. You can see we're preparing for the Ten Commandments, which will come tomorrow in chapter 20. We're using, as usual, the English Standard Version and ESV.org. So this is a wonderful, powerful, remarkable encounter between God and his people. And again, they see more of the Lord than any other people who've ever lived on the face of the earth. The only close generation is that which saw Jesus, of course. Now, these people have seen, they've seen the parting of the Red Sea and the 10 plagues in Egypt and manna from heaven and water from the rock and quail and the defeating of the Amalekite army. I mean, all of these wonderful things. And now they see the Lord. He's in a thick cloud, fire, smoke. The holiness of the Lord is being emphasized in this chapter. And yet, still, most of these people, despite their best intentions, we could say, despite what they say, are not true believers. It's going to be a short time before they're really put to the test and they absolutely fail and God condemns them to die in the wilderness. So that's always in the back of my mind when I'm in these chapters, because I think, you know, I keep coming back to this idea that some people say, if only I could see more miracles, or only if the Lord would make himself more obvious, more clear. Some atheists would say, you know, if God were real, he would show himself more obviously. Well, here's a whole generation of people, a couple million people in the desert wilderness at Mount Sinai, who saw the Lord unmistakably. They knew that God was real, but it wasn't true and saving faith. So here we are. We're 3 months out of Egypt. It is the third new moon after the people had gone out of the land of Egypt when they came to the wilderness at Sinai. So in chapter 16, we have a time reference that was the 15th day of the second month where they ran out of food and they were given manna. And then it was sometime after that that they went, that was in the wilderness of Sin. Then they went to the wilderness of the Rephidim, and that's when they got water from the rock, and then they fought the Amalekites, and now it is the third month. So it's been 3 full months since they've come out of Egypt and they've come to Mount Sinai. And God is going to give them his law. But he's renewing in verse 5, he's renewing his covenant with them, which has an obligation as well as a promise. The obligation, the if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. Covenants from God are always sovereign from God. There is always a condition, though. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, right? If anyone has the Son of God, he has life. If anyone does not have the Son of God, he does not have life. If, right, there's always that condition of the covenant promises of God. Here, the condition is, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And verse 6, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That verse 6 is picked up by Peter in 1 Peter 2:9. And those same exact titles, kingdom of priests and a holy nation, are used of the church, of believers in Jesus Christ, as part of many, many pieces of evidence that lead us to the conviction that Scripture is unfolding one covenant of grace that has its sum and substance in the Lord Jesus Christ, that everything before Jesus is promise and anticipation. Jesus is the fulfillment. All the promises of God are yes in him, and that we who are joined to Christ are heirs of all the promises given to Abraham and to Moses and to David, because Jesus is the heir of all of those promises. And so we are the true Israel of God. We are the true chosen people of God because we belong to Jesus Christ. We are his treasured possession. Jesus is the sum and substance of this covenant. So you shouldn't read verses 5 and 6 and say, oh, that's the covenant that God made with the Israelites in the Old Testament. You should think that's the covenant God makes with his people, which ultimately comes to fruition in Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of this covenant And if we obey, if we keep the covenant, that means if we belong to Jesus Christ, if we trust in Him, if we are His and He is ours, then we are God's treasured possession among all peoples. And we are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That is who we are. But the God we worship is still holy, holy, holy. Sometimes, again, we have this disconnect in our minds between Old Testament and New Testament, between Israel and church. We disconnect things that are really connected in Christ. And so we see this picture of a fire and smoke and trembling and threatening. And we think, wow, that's such a totally different God than our God. But is it really? Because the same God is our God today. And if we were to jump to Hebrews chapter 12, we would see that the same God still speaks to us today. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given, if even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. This is exactly Exodus 19 that the writer to Hebrews is referring to here. It's our passage for today. He says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So does that mean that we're now under such grace that we don't need holy fear, that we can just sort of be cash, you know, and just sort of, no. Verse 25 of Hebrews 12, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape who refused, when they refused him who warned on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So we have this same scene from Exodus 19, of blazing fire and darkness and gloom and trumpet, tempest, fearful, and then it's the conclusion is our God is a consuming fire. In other words, we worship the same God. And the new covenant is the fulfillment of the old. That's one of the things we need to know when we're dealing with Scripture, is that when Scripture talks about a new covenant or a new life or something new, behold, I make all things new. It is the completion. It is the fulfillment. It is the renewal of what has been. So the old covenant becomes the new covenant when the old covenant is fulfilled in Jesus, in his life, death, resurrection. And the old earth will become the new heavens and the new earth when Jesus comes again and brings full redemption to all creation, as is spoken of in Romans 8, among with other places. So This is the same God. My point is, we have the same God who is just as holy, and our worship should not be flippant, should not be entertainment driven, should not be all about us and how we feel and what we got out of it. Our worship should be holy and awesome and reverent, joyful, yes, because the threatening of the law has been removed and the fulfillment of the promises of God have been given, but the same holy God is the same God that we worship today. We are his treasured possession in all the earth. We are the holy nation and the kingdom of priests, and we belong to him as his holy people. So we should worship him in the spirit of holiness. Let's pray. Father, Thank you for your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfills every promise and purpose that you have for your people. Father, help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, in reverence and awe, in holy fear and joyful adoration as your chosen holy people. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, that was day 107. Tomorrow we move on to day 108, and it will be Exodus 20, which you see on the bottom of your screen there. So we'll get to the Ten Commandments tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Lord willing, you'll be able to be with us. Have a blessed day in the Lord.